That was Softly Speaking from Plantoid's Terrapath. The fifth group is Molly Lewis on the lips. The tune is Cocoset. I would like to report on the Northwest League, where the Vancouver Canadiens play at this time. It is a high A league, three levels below Major League Baseball. Two games were on tap for August 31st. The host Spokane Indians tripled up the Tri-City Dust Devils 6-2, highlighted by five runs in the bottom of eighth, where Cole Carrick hit a two-run home run to give Spokane a 3-2 lead, followed by a three-run jack from G.J. Hill, both off G.J. Jig at Avista Stadium in Spokane Valley, Washington. Meanwhile, the visitors' Vancouver Canadians fell to the Hillsboro Hawks 5-2 at Ron Tonkin Field in Hillsboro, Oregon. Three games were on tap for September 1st. Vancouver got stunned with six runs in the bottom of ninth by Hillsboro as the Hawks walked off the Canadians 9-8. The host Eugene Emeralds came from behind to defeat the Edward Aqua Sox 6-4, highlighted by four runs in the bottom of eighth at PK Park in Eugene, Oregon. Meanwhile, Spokane shaded Tri-City 1-0 on just one hit, which was G.J. Hill's solo home run off Nick Mondiak in the bottom of 8th. There was one game on Labor Day, September 2nd. Everett scored two runs in the bottom of 9th to tie the visitors Spokane at 5 to force extra innings. Just a minute, please. So I just lost my computer. I just lost my track here. Were the Aqua Sox okay? Everett scored two runs in the bottom of ninth to tie the visitors Spokane at 5 to force extra innings. Were the Aqua Sox walked off the Indians in the bottom of 10th as Bill Knight was hit by a Davison Palermo pitch and Caleb Kelly walked from third to the home plate at Funko Field in Everett, Washington. Two games were on tap for September 3rd. The host Tri-City grounded Hillsboro 9-4 with runs in 4 of 9 innings, including 3 in the bottom of 8th at Gisa Stadium in Pasco, Washington. Meanwhile, Vancouver stunned the visitors Eugene with 4 runs in the bottom of 8th, with 3 doubles and ultimately won 8-5 at Rogers Field at Nat Bailey. On September 4th, September 4th saw three games. Tri-City dusted off Hillsboro 5-2. Spokane thumped Everett 8-4 with all runs between innings 5 and 8, highlighted by the eventual game-winning two-run home run by Andy Perez, which gave the Indians a 5-4 lead in the top of 6 off Chris Jefferson, and followed by Cole Carrick's two-run jack in the top of 8th off Tyler Cleveland. Off the I-5 and BC Highway 99, Eugene jumped Vancouver with 7 runs in the first two innings, highlighted by 3 home runs in the top of first off the Canadian starter Warren Watts-Brown. Savin Serralos started the home run parade for the Emeralds with a 2-run shot, followed by Quinn McDaniel, Scott Bandura with 2 solo jacks, and capped off by James tipped the third's 2-run home run in the top of second, also off Watts Brown, as Eugene held on for a 10-7 win. On September 5th, Hillsboro shaded Tri-City 2-1, Everett doubled up Spokane 4-2, and Vancouver walked off Eugene 4-3 as the Canadians punched their ticket to the 2024 NWL Championship Series starting on September 10th. Three games are on tap today with one ongoing, actually. Eugene blanked Vancouver 3-0. Everett is leading Spokane 12-8 in the bottom of 8th. The later game features Hillsboro in Pasco against Tri-City. The first pitch is at 6:30, but let me take a look, because initially it was 6:35 p.m., but maybe the time changed. Just a minute, please. Yep, the first pitch will actually be at 6:30.
And now for a CJSF Heritage Minute. During the 80s and the 90s, CJSF would come into its own as a serious platform for independent artists and a forum for people to express ideas not present in the mainstream media. Summer 2002. CJSF receives a license from the Canadian Radio Telecommunications Commission to broadcast over the FM airwaves. February 13th, 2003, 7 p.m. CJSF goes on air at 90.1 FM, and we've been changing the sound of radio in Burnaby ever since.
Here are the current standings in the Northwest League, which is currently in the second half. The Spokane Indians, an affiliate for the Colorado Avalanche, who won the first half, are also first at 39 and 24. The Vancouver Canadiens, the second half winner, are second at 36 and 28 as an affiliate for the Toronto Blue Jays. The Hillsboro Hops, an affiliate for the Arizona Diamondbacks, are third at 32 and 31. The Everett Aquasox, an affiliate for the Seattle Mariners, are exactly opposite of Hillsboro at 31 and 32. The Tri-City Dust Devils, an affiliate for the Los Angeles Angels, which play out of Anaheim, are 5th at 26 and 37. And the Eugene Emeralds, an affiliate for the San Francisco Giants, are last at 26 and 38. Regardless of the remaining games, Spokane and Vancouver will play for the 2024 NWL Championship Series starting on September 10th.
If you're a regular listener of this show or other shows on CJSF, we'd love to hear from you. Tell us about what you like and why you like it, as well as ways we can improve our programming. To leave comments, please email cjsfprog@sfu.ca or call 778-782-4423. This information can also be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
Welcome back. The sixth act is Idols Tank. The track is once again. Because Plex often shows the same artist, but albums are not all the albums are in per search. Now it is the sixth act is Idols Tank. The track is Roy Clean. The following content has some explicit language. The listener discretion is advised.
If I pose and I thread, if I pull on the thread, will you try? If I open the tear with my best stare, will you buy? If I smash down the walls, if I ignore your calls, will you believe? If I choke out the sun, if I blister the hum, will you breathe? Am I almost there? With my death stare, will you kneel? I am baby's breath, I dance with death, will you kneel? I'm sorry for the things that I see. I danced till my feet bled. I'm never gonna die. And the feds, I'm gonna fly. Baby, 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 baby
if I see myself, if I give them hell, will you fly? If I cut off the head of the hand that fed, are you mine? If I pummel a man, if I up the dream, will you hear? If I pull at your hair, scream bloody air, come near. If I cut at the cleft, if I rip at its neck, will you cheer? I am baby's breath, I dance with death, will you kneel? I'm sorry for the things that I say, I dance till my feet bleed. I'm never gonna die. And the feds, I'm gonna fly.
I would like to provide updates for the Man Cup 2024, which pits the Senior A Box Lacrosse Champions from the Western Lacrosse Association, based in BC's Lower Mainland, and from the Major Lacrosse League, based in Ontario. According to Adam Levy's Twitter, the Victoria Shamrocks, the 2024 WLA champions, applied to Lacrosse Canada on adding two players for the Man Cup 2024 against the Six Nations, which would be a policy change at Lacrosse Canada's semi-annual meeting, changing the BC Lacrosse Association from Type 1 to Type 2. However, the Board of Directors at Lacrosse Canada voted against the motion on September 4th, 2024. The WLA provided a statement today on their website. Which actually states that there was a semi-annual meeting back in May. So according to the WLA, September 4th, 15 weeks after Lacrosse Canada's 2024 semi-annual meetings, the Lacrosse Canada did an e-vote, which upended the policy previously passed by 10 of 11 member associations, so rendering two pickup players on the Shamrocks ineligible for the Man Cup, which the Western Lacrosse Association and the Victoria Shamrocks are absolutely outraged by. To a point that the WLA pointed at incompetent leadership at Lacrosse Canada. The specific policy in question, adding players, approved overwhelmingly by 15 weeks ago at Lacrosse Canada's 2024 semi-annual meeting, works with the current policy at the Lacrosse Canada Operations Manual related to Canadian championships at both the Senior B and Junior A levels. The On September 5th, the WLA and Victoria Sharma support offer Lacrosse Canada and MSL. I'm not sure what MSL is. Four options. A reverse decision, WLA MSL amend the Man Cup agreement permitting approved roster players eligibility. WLA and MSL agreed to permit players on MA-approved rosters to play. Victoria Shamrocks consider returning home, which will not happen, actually, as the Man Cup kicks off tonight as the Victoria Shamrocks take on the Six Nations Chief under protest, the 2024 Major Lacrosse Champions. The ball drop at Iroquois Lacrosse Arena is at 5 p.m. Pacific. I will be back.
Listen to music and podcasts from CGSF 90.1 FM with our radio app. It's on-the-go listening made easy. You can tune into all our music, spoken word, and multicultural shows using your device. Our app lets you set reminders so you'll never miss your favorite show again. Stay connected to CGSF 90.1 FM through our community radio app. Download the app from the Apple Store or get it on Google Play.
Now I'd like to talk about the Surrey Police transition at this time. Not much time left today. It had been the most polarizing topic in Surrey for the last 6 years. The then Mayor Doug McCallum pursued the Surrey Police Service, which was approved by the BC government in 2020. Fast forward to 2022, Brenda Locke, who campaigned to stop the Surrey Police Service, became the mayor by beating McCallum with less than 1,000 votes on October 15, 2022. But Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, ordered Surrey City to continue with the Surrey Police Service on July 19, 2023. However, Locke's fight did not end right away, as her two petitions against the BC NDP government for a judicial review on being forced to continue with the SPS was rejected on May 23, 2024, followed by her acceptance of the court's decision on June 10th, and culminated by an agreement between the BC NDP government and Surrey City on July 10th, according to a BC government news release. Surrey will receive $30 million a year to 2029, when a financial guarantee of up to $20 million, if the SPS salaries are higher than the RCMP, may kick in and continue until 2034. For a total of up to $250 million. Surrey will fully support the transition to the SPS and not impose a police tax in the next decade. In addition, according to the BC government news release, the SPB budget, originally requested at $141.5 million, fits within Surrey's financial budget and will hire 526 officers by the end of 2024, 67% of all Surrey police officers. On September 1st, the SPS attended a local Gurdwara to attend a Sikh youth movement as part of their community outreach. On September 3rd, the SPS tweeted that they added 9 more vehicles, adding to the SPS branded fleet to 29, on top of being out for traffic enforcement for the first day back in school. On September 4th, the SPS tweeted their Gurdwara visit from 3 days prior. On September 5th, the SPS newest recruits went on a run with the Chief Norm Lipinski at Clayton Heights, which is in East Surrey that abuts both Langleys. Today, the SPS tweeted that they are hiring for a detective constable for its serious crimes unit. Also, the SPS participated in today's car rally with the PIC Society, a Surrey organization that provides free support for immigrants, seniors, farm workers, women, and youth to encourage safer and drug-free communities, according to the SPS Twitter. Just came in just today. There were a couple more events. The SPS welcomed their newest class of recruits. They just swore in 13 new recruits who will begin their training at JIBC, which is Class 175. Let me look if there are any changes to the SPS numbers. As the SPS swearing in 13 new recruits just occurred. According to the SPS policing transition page, as of August 2024, there are 370 sworn police officers, but the actual number might actually be 383. There were 67 civilian employees as of August 31st, 2024. That number might be different. So the number of SPS sworn in officers may actually be up to 383. Thank you for listening to episode 34 of the Steve Chong Show in 2024, followed part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 4, it is Voice of the North. I would like to provide some updates to two sports scores that I mentioned earlier in the hour. The SFU Red Leafs Volleyball are still playing the Point Loma Nazarene College. Currently, SFU is leading 3-1, but are trailing Point Loma 15-8. I'm not sure why there are 5 sets being played here, because SFU has already won 3 sets. As for the other game, there was one game on the Northwest League. It was still going on. Everett and Spokane and Everett are locked in an absolute slugfest, where the host Everett Aqua Sox are leading the Spokane Indians 14-10, but the Indians have scored the last 2 runs in the top of 9th. There is 1-0 with runners at 1st and 2nd.
You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC. If you missed your favorite program, don't worry. You can listen to podcasts of our program at CJSF.